Joining us this morning, 12th District State Senator Brad Hawkins. Good morning, Senator.
Good morning, Jeff. Thanks for having me.
Well, thanks for joining us. How would you say things are progressing?
We already have a series of different cutoff dates. For example, this one on February 17th is for bills to pass their policy committee in order to be further considered in the process. And there's a lot of bills that have been introduced. And if bills don't advance out of their committee by February 17th, then they're done for the session. Now, there's a slight variation on the fiscal committees. We have the Capital Budget Committee, the Operating Budget Committees, and the Transportation Committees, which I serve on transportation, and our Transportation Committee develops and approves the two-year transportation budget. Those fiscal committees have a longer period of time to advance bills out of their process, but the winnowing process of, you know, the hundreds and hundreds of bills is going to get smaller and smaller here beginning on February 17th.
And how does that feel when you've put forward something that is you're passionate about and it just doesn't quite get the traction?
Yeah, it's tough. You know, sometimes not only can you be passionate about it, you could have a lot of support for something on both sides of the aisle. But it's in some ways, it's a numbers game. And it's probably a very good thing that it's so difficult for bills to become law. Otherwise, there'd be even more new laws and changes to laws than we're already producing. And believe me, in my opinion, the state is passing a lot of laws, so much so that there's such a high volume, it's sometimes difficult to ensure that the language is right, and then there's changes that need to be made, and then it creates a whole new set of circumstances for follow-up legislative sessions. But yeah, it could be interesting. We all have a lot of good ideas, and some of those ideas take a little while. I know some of mine related to education has, you know, taken a couple years to kind of catch on.
Mm-hmm. One of those ideas I know you recently put forward was extending the school year by 5 days from 180 to 185 days. What was the reception to that? And why did you only propose 5 days when in previous conversations, I think you've mentioned that you would like to actually see the school year be more like 200 days?
Yeah, it's interesting. You know, the school calendar in the state of Washington and in the United States was largely based on an agrarian economy from many years ago, and it largely goes unquestioned now because so many people are so accustomed to it. But so many industrialized countries have a much different approach to their school year. I would prefer, you know, many more days in our state-funded school year. I think it would help students retain much more information. We have massive learning loss as a result of the COVID pandemic. Some teachers I met with in our district just a week or two ago, they were middle school teachers and telling me, and they're actually junior high teachers, and they're telling me that many of their students were 2 or 4 years behind grade level, some of which basically will be needing elementary math curriculum that the junior high teachers don't even have the math curriculum to meet the students where they are. So we have massive learning loss. I picked the 5 extra days basically to make it financially feasible. We do have significant learning loss due to the COVID pandemic, but we also have some additional revenue in our state. So my pitch to the education committee is, you know, if we can't take an incremental step forward this year to address this issue and get us closer to a more modernized school calendar, then when are we ever going to be able to do it? And my thought is we can kind of pair this idea with one of my previous ideas. One of my previous ideas was you take the existing 180 state-funded days and you apportion those out a little bit longer over the calendar so that you can kind of make better use of those days. And if you add an extra 5 days to that, then it's feasible that you could basically have maybe a full 10-month school year as opposed to what we have now, which in some school districts is basically 9 months or 9.5 months. And that would help students address their learning loss that occurs every summer, but it would still allow students to enjoy a summer break. I love summer break, But I think a 2-month summer break would probably be better than what they're experiencing now. And I just think our education system is very inefficient. We basically have a model because of the school calendar where we start the school year and then we stop the school year and then restart it again. Mm-hmm. And that there's a lot of energy and efficiency wasted in that, and students don't learn as well. And then every September, there's practically a whole month of reteaching that occurs. And so I think we I've been trying to encourage my colleagues to think differently about, you know, how we deliver education services in our state.
Mm-hmm. Now, I know we've also had the conversation briefly regarding the scope of services that school districts seem to be providing. We're not just learning reading, writing, and arithmetic anymore. There's health services that are available, food services that are available. It goes on. And it seems that school districts are only trying to increase, taking over more and more the parental role, if you will.
Well, yes, and it's something that actually, Jeff, I have been sort of, you know, trying to wave a flag to kind of raise awareness. Some of this happens very incrementally, but we took major efforts during the 2012, the 2015 timeframe to address a state Supreme Court decision related to funding basic education. And this was known, as you may recall, as the McCleary decision from 2012. And eventually the state Supreme Court acknowledged that we as a legislature had met that and funded basic education. But soon thereafter, the school district keep coming back and saying, but you're not fully funding education. There's not enough funding. And I kind of realized that the goalposts are moving backwards on it. They're moving on us. And it's getting harder and harder because more and more school districts throughout the state are delivering expanded services. And it's sort of become a situation where academic services is sort of either a secondary function or an equal priority with these other important things, but childcare, meals, multiple meals, not just lunch, social emotional supports, healthcare, as you acknowledge, some school districts getting into that. We've even had some legislators propose bills related to school district providing housing. And so it's getting increasingly difficult, Jeff, to differentiate where a school district's responsibilities end and where a family and community's responsibilities begin. And I'm sort of trying to step back to kind of raise awareness of what's happening. The cost per student in the state of Washington has nearly doubled in the last 10 years. On average in the state of Washington per student in 2012, it was approximately $8,000 a year. And now per student throughout the state on average is about $15,600 per student. And, you know, my concern is, if the state is going to try to deliver all these services through our school districts, I think the school districts are going to suffer. The students are going to suffer academically. And there are a lot of needs that exist in the community. There's no doubt about it. But one of my concerns is as the school districts expand, maybe it's due to public's expectations. Maybe it's due to their school board wanting to provide more services, or the state mandates. But as this happens, it's getting obviously harder and harder to fully fund education. And I don't know if we'll ever be able to fully fund education if the state and the public wants to deliver all these services through the public school system. It's just getting to be very challenging on property owners' local levies, because we as a legislature tried to cap the levy amounts once we met the McCleary decision. And once, you know, things changed in the legislature, I didn't support it, but the local levies cap was lifted. And now you have a similar situation where the school districts that were once fully funded are now asking property owners for more and more property taxes to support their levies, in addition the state dollars that are coming. So there's a lot of challenges and a lot of moving parts and pieces in our education system. And I'm trying my best to kind of raise awareness of what's happening, because it's getting to be kind of a challenging space philosophically and in terms of like government's role as well. But there's a lot of needs in our communities. And I just think we have to be careful, because as the school districts take on more and more of those services, there may be fewer and fewer providers in the community that want to step up and provide those services because the school districts are already doing it. So it's a challenge.
As we've seen in several other states, though, as I mentioned to you once before, they're moving to allow the dollars, those tax dollars, to go with the student instead of the school district. Would that not increase competition in the education environment that we're currently dealing with, and perhaps even solve some problems?
Well, it certainly would help provide parents flexibility. I don't think that's going to happen in our state. And I hope listeners don't think like I am a supporter of public schools. I have two kids in public schools right now. But, how we fund our schools and the lack of flexibility that the legislature is providing, even to our locally elected school boards, is troubling. And that's not to mention the remote possibility that it would ever pass in our state to allow more funding to go to vouchers or opportunities for parents to have more school choice. But I just wanted to share, Jeff, I am a supporter of our public schools.
Sure.
I'm proud of funding that we've provided, but I'm also a big supporter of school choice for parents, the students, and families, because students need options. They're entering a brave new world, a global economy, and they need as much support as they can get. And that's one of the reasons why, whether it's a school calendar or adding a few extra days, I'm trying to encourage my legislative colleagues to think differently about our system. Too much of what happens in Olympia is they sort of nibble around the edges and spend more and more money every year, but they don't really want to do anything substantive. And that's kind of why I'm encouraging them to think a little bit bigger, especially after all the challenges with COVID.
Definitely a big topic, and we appreciate you standing in the trenches there for us. If folks have more ideas, thoughts, they want to communicate with you during session, what's the best way to go about doing that?
The best way is through my website, which is senatorbradhawkins.org. People can check my newsletters. They can subscribe to them. They can review my recent news releases. They can learn more about me. They can also submit a contact form that goes right to my staff and to me. And we move heaven and earth to get answers to the questions that constituents have. So if any of the KOZI listeners have any questions about education, the budget, or anything else this session, please, please reach out to us.
All right. Well, we sure appreciate you taking the time to get us up to speed and share with us some of the challenges that you're dealing with there in Olympia. We'll look forward to your next report. And just thank you so much for your time, Senator Brad Hawkins.
Thank you so much, Jeff. It's always great to connect with you.